All right, here we are in Hebrews chapter number 13. Here we have in Hebrews chapter 13 a command in three different parts. As you read the verse, there are three different things that we're supposed to do. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. A command to remember them which have the rule over you. Now here, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and we have here a command that we are to remember those spiritual leaders who encourage us, who strengthen us, who give us an example, who give us teaching and admonition and preaching many times, to remember them which have the rule over you, and then a command to follow, whose faith follow, and then a command to consider. To consider, as it says here, the end of their conversation, how that is going to end with their life, the faithfulness and the walk. We are to follow those who walk in faith. We are to follow those who live by the word of God, and we are to follow their faith. So here's a question. What if someone was to follow you? Now we're talking about a spiritual leader. We're talking about someone who can guide you in this word right here. What if someone were to follow you? Where would you lead them? Ask yourself that question. If someone were to follow me in a spiritual leadership capacity, where would I lead them? Do you have a faith that can be followed? You know, there's nothing wrong with being copyable. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There are some who are depicted, if they were to be followed, we find Ephesians chapter 4 in verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Some, the Bible says, are carried about with every wind of doctrine, and every sleight of men. Do you have a faith that we should follow? You see, there are some folks who in their faith, they set their sights on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they walk like this, a straight line. They're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and finally, they press toward the mark and they cross it when they get to heaven. There are others who, if that was their mark, you ever read the Family Circus in the newspaper, a little cartoon, right? Little Jeffy, right? Jeffy, go feed the dog, right? And what does Jeffy do? He goes over here. He's like, oh, there's a bug on the ground. Oh, look at the cat. He goes, oh, hey, how you doing? Happy anniversary. Nice to see you. Hey, Dad, I'm sorry I broke that window when I was a kid. I won't do it again. Hey, you have a hat anniversary tomorrow. Nice to meet you. Great. And they're supposed to be going over there, right? And they're supposed to, Brian, ¿cómo está? And I told someone in Spanish, I said, Buenos dias, right? And they said, no, buenos noches. It was nighttime now, right? I got the wrong one. And so I'm supposed to be going over there, right? But I'm kind of zigzagging. I'm somewhere. I'm going to die right over here because my life's going to be over. I'm never going to make it over there. And so what they're doing is they're not really leading someone. Can you imagine trying to follow that, right? Try to follow that. You said, we've been doing it for years. Sorry. But hey, somebody's over here. They need to come in. Okay? And I'm an usher. Okay, so here you are trying to follow somebody's faith, and they're all over the place, right? And they climbing over the furniture, and usually I can do it with two hands. One hand's a little harder. You stay awake this morning, right? Good. All right, and they're trying to get over here, and instead, we went all in a circle. A very not a straight line. Okay. And yet there's some people, and they walk like that. They kind of zigzag, you know, they go this way, they go that way. In their faith, they go backwards, right? It's called backsliding. It's in the Bible, right? We hate to do it, but it happens. And so the question is, no, I'm out of breath. It was that piece of bacon, Brother Les. Brother Les came in with bacon this morning. It was It was turkey bacon, all right? So you could have even gone to the synagogue and it would have been kosher, all right? But bacon before Sunday school. Usually I don't touch it, but he said it was turkey bacon. And I thought, okay, I'm going to start the year right, all right? Turkey bacon and rest. Is it leap year this year? I don't know. Not till 2024, right? That'd be a leap year. Depends on how the elections go, which way you want to leap. You want to leap out the window? Or you want to leap? Okay. Now, can you walk a straight line? That's a thought. So if we're walking, looking unto Jesus, and others are supposed to be able to follow me, am I walking a straight line? Do you have a faith that I can follow? Whose faith follow? Do you know other people ought to be able to point to you and say, follow that person's faith? Now, let me start with the first thing we have to dissect when we get into this conversation. Okay, here's point number one. Following someone's faith is not, as some would say, man worship or putting someone on a pedestal. Okay, we got to get that. Let's just solve that right out of the box, okay? Well, that's just man worship and putting someone on a pedestal, okay? And then the argument could be the church in Corinth. So the church in Corinth was arguing, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas, right? Peter, well, how about this then? I am of Christ. So if Paul was trying to take that argument apart, and they were carnal, following man, and we would say worshiping man, but that's not the case, because why is Christ mentioned? We're supposed to worship him. He was saying, you know, you've got contentions. Very carnal. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That was just right out of the box. That was a very carnal, worldly church. And so he had to say, no, you're supposed to worship Christ. But there are many examples in the Bible where we are supposed to worship Christ, but we're supposed to follow someone's faith. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Now, I got a short sermon this morning, so I'm going to give you time to turn to these, all right? Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. You might be able to make it to the Golden Corral. They might still be serving breakfast, okay? Philippians chapter 3. Oh, that would be early. Philippians chapter number 3. All right, so Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 17. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Paul said, I want you to follow me. Now, he wasn't saying follow me at the expense of following Christ, okay? Listen, I guess the best illustration is, if you can picture someone following Christ, and then you're right behind Christ, and you're following them, if you drop off the scene, they're still following Christ, all right? That's the perfect example, all right? So Paul's not saying, follow me, and we're all going to drink Kool-Aid, right? Like Jim Jones, right? He's not saying that. He's saying, follow me, I'm an example. Okay, so I think we've swung the pendulum too far the other way. Oh, that's man worship. Okay, well, it is in the Bible. Paul said, follow me, I'm an example. We said, well, I can't follow man. Well, then, why did the Holy Ghost put it in the Bible? Okay, so here Paul said, I'm an example. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 945. You got it? You got it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So here is an admonition to follow them. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So we need examples to follow in our spiritual life. And Scripture tells us that we are given examples. Paul said, follow me. Paul said, I'm an example. You should follow me because I'm going the right direction. I'm in a straight line, following Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He wasn't saying, worship me. He wasn't saying, I'm going off a cliff. Follow me off a cliff, all right? He was following Christ, 1 Corinthians 11. That's always the argument, so we're going to diffuse it like 20 different times, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of whom? Christ, okay? Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I'm a follower of Christ. Now look at 1 Thessalonians. All the T's are together there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So Paul stressed over and over again, follow me. I'm an example. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow others who are good examples. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Look at chapter 2. Now, Paul goes a little bit deeper. He says, okay, follow me. I'm following Christ. Look, Paul drops off the scene, you keep following Christ. That's just, it goes without saying. But he said, I want you to have a human being that you can copy, that you can see as an example. Christ is already gone. He's gone back to heaven. Follow me. I beseech you, follow me. Now he says, there's a whole church that you can follow. Chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, verse number 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things in your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Ye became followers of the churches of God. Here was a church that was copyable. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now there are two verses here. Paul said, follow me. Paul said, I'm an example. Listen, that'll keep your feet to the fire. If you realize that you are an example of the believer. But be an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, right? Something like that. We're supposed to be an example of the believer. Everyone in the world ought to be able to look at you and say, that right there is what I should be if I'm a believer. Because you're a believer, right? You ought to be copyable. You ought to be an example in every area of life. Our church ought to be an example. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul's not saying, worship me. He's saying, look it, I am orderly. I am living right. Follow me. Verse number 9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. I think we've dispelled the myth that we're not worshiping man when we follow someone who's following Christ. Paul said, follow me. If it was wrong, the Bible wouldn't put it in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I don't know how many times. It's not wrong to follow someone if they have a faith that's worth following. The problem is, many are not worth following. Turn back to the book of Genesis quickly. We're here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7. Genesis chapter 49. Listen, girls, listen. Shh. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob calls his sons to his bedside. He's dying. He calls them to his side. And he tells them his last will and testament. And so he talks to his first, and that is Reuben. Listen, girls, listen. And he says, Reuben, you've got all these great qualities. You've got all these good things going for you. As a matter of fact, I love it if someone said that about me, and you'd love it if someone said it about you, the good things. Genesis 49, verse number 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. My might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Man, if he just stopped there, that would be a resume for the centuries. But the next verse, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. He said, Reuben, you've got power, you've got might, you've got excellency. you're walking here as an example to follow, and then all of a sudden you went, woo, hey, look at me. I'm supposed to be going over there. And instead he's going over here, unstable as water. He's up, he's down, he's off the chair, he's on the chair. He doesn't know what day of the week it is. He's doing wicked things. And he says, Reuben, you're never going to excel. You're not going to get to the finish line because you're going backwards, because you're zigzagging in your life. You know, there are many of God's people today. If we were to say, hey, all of a sudden a new convert just gets saved, I mean, they're green around the gills, right? And we plop them next to you and say, hey, follow this person right here. How would you feel? What kind of a Christian would you produce? If we said, hey, here's an example of a believer, be like him or be like her. Or be like this person, or be like that person, or be like that person. Hey, young person, pattern your life after this young man, or pattern your life after this young lady. Are you copyable? Do you have a faith that someone else ought to follow? Are you an example of the believer? Paul pointed out people, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul pointed out people not to follow. As a matter of fact, he even went so far as to name their names. I know we shouldn't do that, but Paul did. And he said, listen, I'm going to tell you, there are good examples, and you ought to follow them. He said, follow us. We're following Christ. Follow Christ, ultimately, that's the example. But follow us, we're an example. Hey, follow this church in Judea. They're an example. Follow this church. Follow this person. Learn how to suffer like a Christian. And then he said, there are people that you should not follow. I want to point them out because if you follow them, you're going to get in trouble. 1 Timothy 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. They've made shipwreck. He said, if you follow them, they're going to go into shallow waters and you're going to cause a shipwreck. If you follow them, they're going to put you up against a rocky, craggy coast and you're going to destroy your life if you follow them. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul pointed out people not to follow because they were dangerous. Are you an example of the believer whose faith follow? Hebrews 13, verse number 7. Let me give you another thought. Have a faith worth following. Have a faith worth following. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 in just a second. I'll give you a minute to find it. Have a faith worth following. We said, number one, following someone's faith, Hebrews 13, verse 7, whose faith follow, we're supposed to do it. Following someone's faith is not, as some would say, man worship or putting someone on the pedestal. Paul said, follow me, follow us, follow the church, follow me, I'm an example, follow me, follow Christ. Number two, have a faith that is worth following. Paul was confident when he said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. If we would follow Christ, we would be as confident as he is. See, the problem is when we don't follow Christ and live for God, there's a bad example. So we can't say, follow me, because we know we're inconsistent. Have a faith worth following. Number one, have a faith. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Paul could not say, whose faith follow, for someone who did not have a faith in Christ. Do you know for sure that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven, that you're born again? Has there been a time when you've been confronted as a sinner, as we all are? As our need of sin has a penalty, and that is the wages of sin is death and hell, the lake of fire. Christ is the only payment for our penalty. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He paid for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. 3 days and three nights later, he rose again for our justification. And now he said, I will take you to heaven, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye must be born again. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you have a faith in Christ? Is it genuine? Is it real? Have a faith worth following. Look at Philippians chapter 3. This sounds like a confident man to me. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, you can follow me because our conversation is in heaven. Now we think of conversation. We think of, hey, how are you today? Good. Hey, how's the weather? Well, it's hot. Okay, let's talk about something else. How are the Red Sox? Let's talk about something else. All right, how's, what are you going to do? I have a Red Sox hat. I wore it. Somebody said, how are they? I said, I don't pay attention. I just like the hat. B is for boy. Okay, nobody wonders. Is that a boy? No, it's a boy. All right. So conversation isn't just chatting about, you know, the weather and, hey, my grass is burned up. How's yours doing? Mine's burned up too. Okay. No, it means this. Conversation is a keeping company. For our conversation, our keeping of company is in heaven. From whence we look for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, when we talk about things and we're spending time in fellowship, we're fellowshipping with those in heaven, Christ. It means this. Our conversation is in heaven. It means an intimate fellowship. Our intimate fellowship is with heaven because we're going there pretty soon. Pretty soon, Kyle, we're going to be in heaven. I mean, it's not long. I had a birthday yesterday. My mortality is sneaking up on me. I was preaching in the jail one day, and I said, fellas, you probably don't like bricks, right? There's all kind of bricks everywhere. Then they come to church, you're like, ah, bricks. But, you know, I took a chalk piece, and I circled one little brick on the floor. Can you imagine? Circle one little brick, and I said, this is your life. All the rest of the bricks in the world, that's eternity. And that just gets started. Can you imagine that? And we concentrate on that one little brick. And we spend all of our time on that one little brick, and we focus our attention. This brick was like 6 feet square, 6 inches square. So that was a big brick. We spend all of our time on that one little brick, and we think, boy, this is it right here. This is life. No, that's just mortality. Mortality will be swallowed up of life, and we'll really be living, Justin. We'll go to heaven. So he said, our conversation shouldn't be about intimate fellowship with things here on earth. It should be in heaven. It's a familiar acquaintance. It is familiar circumstances. Look at our text. Look at Philippians, where you are, right? Philippians chapter 3. We looked at verse number 20, did we not? For our conversation is in heaven. Our familiar acquaintance, our keeping of company, our intimate fellowship, our familiar association is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. Hey, our conversation can be on earthly things, our vile body, or it can be in heaven on eternal things. Have a faith worth following. You know, we do this in other areas, don't we? We have a faith worth following in other areas of life. Shouldn't we do that in our Christian life? How about an apprenticeship? So, listen, somebody wants you to go and get a degree so you can rotate books at the library, right? Just get a liberal arts degree and you'll be able to rotate the books at the library, put them from the top shelf to the bottom shelf. Hey, listen, why don't you become a plumber? I have paid the plumber exorbitant amounts of money in the last couple of weeks, and I'll be paying him again this week. You know why? Because I like having fresh water and clean water, water that doesn't smell, water that doesn't run all over my floor. So, you know, what does a plumber do? A plumber gets an apprentice, right? So an apprentice goes and hangs out with the plumber and works and does all the dirty work for the plumber. And goes to trade school, right? Learns how to be a plumber. And then makes, you know, more money than a rocket scientist, right? Try to get a plumber. And so people go and they are apprenticed to the plumber. How about an electrician? Oh, we like having lights and power and things that don't burn up, right? And so the electrician gets an apprentice. I don't know how. It's like somebody told me it's 4 years or something like that, at least 2 years. And the guy's pulling wire. He just pulls wire for like 2 years. I mean, the guy's muscle bound. You'll see a guy at the gym like this, like, hey, do you work out? No, I'm an apprentice to an electrician. Pull the wires, right? 2 years, 4 years, he's pulling all that wire through all that conduit. It gets stuck every time, right? And the electrician's there, and he's just hooking it up, and he's signing off on the paper. I know he does the work too. But the poor apprentice is the guy who's doing all the work. And so he's the apprentice to the, hey, don't follow that electrician. You're worshiping him. No, I want to be an electrician someday. How do you do that? You hang around the electrician and you say, don't hook the black wire and the white wire up. You're going to burn the house down, okay? The black wire goes with the black wire. The white wire goes with the white. The green one is the ground. The red one, I don't know what that is, but he does. That's why I'm not an electrician. And so you're learning. Oh, you're worshiping the... No, I'm learning how to be an electrician. Oh, you're worshiping the plumber. No, I'm down on the floor cleaning up on the toilet, right? You're worshiping the... No, I'm not. I'm learning how to be a plumber. So I'm here with the plumber, and I'm following the plumber, and I'm an example of a good plumber, and I'm learning how to do the job. We have mentors in other areas of life. Why don't we do that in Christianity? We have a trainer-trainee program, right? The continue course. That's a great step. And we're supposed to do that. We have a coach for sports, right? And everybody back in the 90s, be like who? Be like Mike. Oh, see, you know. Michael Jordan, right? Oh, you're worshiping. No, everybody wants to be a basketball player, right? I remember living in Chicago when that was all going on. They had him on a, they had a mural on like the skyscraper. You remember that? Anybody remember that in Chicago? It was like 40, 50 stories tall. Michael Jordan slamming the basketball, right? Be like Mike. Hey, if you wanted to be a good basketball player, you'd be like Michael Jordan. Oh, you're worshiping. Well, maybe. Okay. I'll give you that one. Okay. But they said, we're going to learn how to play basketball like the best basketball player. We have a coach for sports, right? You want to learn how to pitch? You follow a guy who's a star pitcher. You're right-handed? Left-handed? I can pitch, but everything crackles and snaps like Rice Krispies. And, you know, you pitch that ball. So you follow somebody who's a good pitcher. You watch, you know, Nolan Ryan back in the day, right? And you learn how to pitch like that. And you go to his class and he'll teach you how to be, no, put your feet like that. No, look like that. No, okay. You gotta stand a certain way. You gotta have a certain release and a delivery and all those things, right? And you gotta have a follow through. And so you learn from the best. Why don't we do that in the Christian life? And we come to the Christian life and he says, oh, no, you're a worshiping man. No, you're just an idiot. Sorry. Is that on? Okay. Sorry. How about this? The very word Christian, the first time it was used is in Acts 11 and verse 26. It says, and when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The very word Christian means someone who lives like Christ. Someone who reminds me of Christ. That was the word given to us, not by our friends, by people who hated us. They said, you remind me of Christ, crucify him, all right? And they chase him down. That's what happened in the book of Acts. But the very word Christian means we ought to live like Christ. So I wear the name, Brother Mike, I ought to live the life. I say, I'm called a Christian. Do I follow Christ? And you ought to be copyable. Someone ought to be able to say to you, Brother James, hey, if you want to be a young man who turns out for God, you follow that young man right there. Right there. I'm jealous of his hair, too. Okay? You follow that young man right there, and you're going to be fine. You're going to turn out okay. You do what he does. You act like he does. But that's a pretty big responsibility, isn't it? Pretty big responsibility. But you know, parents do that, right? I remember when I was a kid, my dad would come home. He'd take off his 11 triple E boots, put them on the floor. He'd go wash up. I'd put them on, and I'd clomp around the house. Clomp, 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 clomp. Right? He had his little, had his hat, Gray Rock Brake Products hat, right? Walker Safe and Sound Mufflers. I put that hat on. I put on that jacket. It would hang down to the floor. I'm like 4 years old, 5 years old. Clomp, 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 clomp. I was waiting for spontaneous combustion, man. I had gasoline all over it from pumping gas and fixing cars. And I said, I want to be like my dad. And I patterned my goal. I said, you want to be like my dad. And we do that, don't we? And the girls, you know, they get the high heels, right? They're like, ooh, like that, right? Thank God guys don't have high heels. Real men don't anyway. Cowboy boots are an exception, okay? But they wear those high heels and they say, I want to be like mom, right? And they dress up like mom, right? Put the lipstick on everywhere, right? Have someone, number three, have someone that you're leading and you're teaching. Have someone that you're leading and you're teaching. Our text, Hebrews 13, look at it again. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you and who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now these are the people we ought to follow. Whose faith, follow. People who have spoken unto us the word of God. That means we ought to be speaking the word of God to other people. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? As a matter of fact, it's given several times in the scripture. But probably the most notable one that we remember is when Jesus told his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Have someone that you are leading. It's a command in the Bible. Have someone that you are teaching, whose faith follow. There is a follower and there is a leader. There is a student, a disciple, and there is a teacher. You know, we find the word disciples in the Bible, isn't it? You ever hear the word disciple in the Bible? I looked it up. 256 times in the Bible the word disciples used. Wow! A disciple is a disciplined one. That's the root word. A disciplined one. In this case, a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. But you know, a disciple needs an example. Like a basketball player needs an example. Like a baseball player needs an example. Like an electrician needs an example. Like a plumber needs someone to be mentored and trained and apprenticed. We need an example. We ought to be that example for someone else. I want to be an example of a Christian. So that other people can say, hey, if you look like Dave Carlson, if you try to live the Christian life like him, that's a good example. Look, there's a lot of bad examples out there. That'll keep your feet to the fire. Whose faith? Follow. Jesus had disciples. The 12 apostles were called disciples, but many more were called disciples. Jesus made and baptized disciples. John 4, verse number 1. That's the word that is used. Jesus made and baptized more disciples. If we're to be like Christ, we must do the same thing. We said, teach the gospel and see them saved and baptized and then teach them all things. The best way to teach is not to instruct only. The best way to teach is to model also. You're not just instructing. Anybody can get up there like Charlie Brown, right? Wah, 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 wah. Kind of like Sunday morning, like you're falling asleep, right? But it is cool in here, at least, okay? Wah, 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 wah. And everybody's going, oh, okay. In one ear, out the other. The best way is to teach and model. So, okay, now, here is the nitty-gritty of it. Follow me. I'm going to show you how to do it. Isn't that the way we learn the best? Hands-on. Have someone that you're teaching. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul had a man who he was discipling, young man. His name is Timothy. He had another one in the next book. What was his name? Titus. And Paul invested his life in these young men. And they brought the gospel to the then known world. And they pastored the churches. And they won people to Christ. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Five generations of mentoring go on right there. Many witnesses. Paul, Timothy, faithful men, others. Five generations. Paul said, I'm teaching you, Timothy. I'm investing in you, but you've heard it from other people. You've seen it in me as well. I see it in you. You pass it along to faithful men, and they're going to teach others also. Whose faith? Follow. Didn't Ronald Reagan say, freedom is only one generation from extinction? Christianity is only one generation from extinction. We have to have a faith that others can follow. You see, it's going to be inconvenient because you're going to have to fly straight 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and in 2024, one extra day. You're going to have to be a pattern of good works. I brought something with me. I don't go shopping too often, but I bought a pattern. How about that? 1972. How about that? Do they make these anymore? I don't know when it's from. Never been opened. So, simplicity sounds real simple. I'd like to try it sometime. So, this is for a lady's skirt, a pattern, okay? It's a plus size. Baptist Church, okay? Sorry. It's a new year. I'm starting out on the wrong foot. Sorry. I have spiritual Tourette's. Now, I'll tell you right now, I've never made one of these, okay? There's two layers here. Look at that. Hey, we got one with ruffles on the bottom. We got ruffles all the way up. We got a ruffle in the middle. There's like four different. This is the value right here. Now, the idea is you measure yourself, right? And you figure out what size you are, what size you want to be. That's always the best one. I'm a size 2. Zero. This is a pattern, okay? Now, you take this thing, you cut it out, you pin it onto the material, you cut out the material, you got to make sure all the patterns are going the right way. You could probably put something together upside down, right? Look, all the flowers are pointing up in the air, Mom. Is that right? Yeah, that's great. Right, shut up. You do it, okay? You cut out all the things, and then you sew them together, right? Look, that seat cushion you're sitting on, okay? Somebody made a pattern. They used to be pink. Remember that? Go downstairs, look at the ones in junior church. They're still pink. You'll be glad you graduated. And somebody, and our ladies worked hard cutting these out, sewing these together, and you know what? Pretty much they all look the same. Different people sewed them, but they had one pattern or a similar pattern, the same pattern. And I mean, these ladies, we're having carpal tunnel surgeries for the next 10 years, right? You'll be in business. Right? Cut out all these patterns, sewed them all together. We've got more in a box up here for when we grow and we push that wall out there, we'll make some new ones, right? We're all ready to go. But a pattern. Can you imagine if you cut this out? I was going to get a pair of scissors and like cut one like halfway off, right? Hey, listen, put the skirts below the knee, okay? Pattern, right? It's modesty, right? Can you imagine cut that thing off and all of a sudden, ooh, we got a mini skirt. Wow, what happened? Or you got one down and it drags on the floor, right? Bell bottoms, okay? A pattern. So we understand that we make patterns for things. As a parent, you lead and teach your children. You teach them with your mouth, but you teach them by what you do, your example. Whose faith follow by how you act. You teach them sometimes, don't miss this, by what you don't do. You ever have somebody just fire you up? People get fired up about the dumbest things. I was reading an article. You know, I'm sorry, but the weirdest things happen in Florida, George. I don't know why. But if you ever read a weird like police article, it's usually in Florida. I don't know why. I went down to Florida and I had a fun time. I was reading an article. Some guy went to the Wendy's and they gave him like no ketchup on his fries. So I don't know what it was. He came. It's keeping your attention. You're staying awake, right? He came back with an alligator and he stuck it through the window and he's like, yeah, take my alligator, right? I think they arrested him for assault, a deadly weapon or something like that. And I read it, I was like, that had to be Florida. And sure enough, it was Florida. I mean, they have alligators in Georgia. They have alligators in Alabama, probably, right? Florida. Had to be Florida. But why was I saying that? Oh, what you don't do. Listen, what happens to you when they don't give you your crispy crunchies, right? And you go off on the poor, you know, the guy's making, it used to be like $3 an hour. The guy's making $15 an hour. $15 an hour, you should rotate the tires on my car while I'm in the drive-thru, like the NASCAR thing. Should I get some service around here? Give me some service. And you can't even put the crispy crunchies in the bag. I mean, talk to your manager. And your kids are watching you going, oh, I guess that's what you do. You get mad at the poor guy and you grab him, drag him across the counter, bang his head on the table, right? They're watching you by what you don't do. You get mad at the mailman. Ah, I hate people named Bill. Don't bring me any more bills. You got that? Sick the dog on the mailman, and your kids are watching you, right? How do you act? What do you do? What do you don't do? In a spiritual setting, whose faith follow? We ought to be a pattern that is worth being duplicated over and over and over and over and over. You ought to be such a Christian that someone, anyone could point to you. Someone walks in that door and says, hey, I'm a new convert. What do I do? I should say, hey, go with him. Go with her. Go with him. Go with her. Go with her. Just anybody. Hey, take that guy right there. Follow him. He'll lead you the right way. But you know, sometimes it gets a little dicey. What would we do? Who would we say whose faith follow? It ought to be every one of us. So I'm not there yet. Well, good. That's why we're here. We're getting there. Be a pattern. Hey, look, there's another one. Cutting and marking. El Patron. It must be in Spanish. Brother Eric, I need your help. Somebody ought to be able to look at your life like this and go, all right, number A, letter A, skirt A. Stitch side seams of yoke front and back sections together. Got it. Stitch side seams of first tier sections together. Gather large print up notched edge with the right sides together. We ought to be able to say, okay, I don't know why they put them in their mouth, right? Let's strangulate, put them, put those pins in their mouth. You ever swallow one? Don't answer that question, all right? and you'll put that thing together, and it ought to look the same. Hey, everybody who follows you ought to look like Christ. Whoa, that's a tall order, isn't it? We all have some work to do, don't we?